Hello, everybody, and welcome again to the Go Virtues podcast. It's such a pleasure to have everybody here week in, week out. My co-host Shireen and I, we're always so honored to be able to share inspirational ideas and stories with you, and hopefully to be able to make our family units a much more happier one, a much more fun and joyful one. And, you know, it couldn't be more relevant to the topic that we're going to be having with our guest today. So before I get to that, make sure you go to govirtues.com, follow us on Instagram and social media on Facebook at Go Virtues, and leave us a review whenever you can. We'd really appreciate all the feedback that we can get. So getting straight into the program, Shireen, firstly, hi, welcome back.
Hi, Richard. I'm so excited to have someone so cheerful to talk about our virtue today. It's amazing. So hello, everyone. And thanks for listening in.
Great, Shireen. And before I give it away, I'm about to give it away now, but before she starts saying anything, it's my honor to actually introduce all our listeners to Tove. Tove Kane is a broadcaster, and she is the founder of Speak and Shine Academy. What a wonderful name. She's passionate about teaching health and happiness, and cares so deeply about sustainability. My wife is going to love you. She talks about sustainability all the time. She's an author of Mind Over Matter, about overcoming negative inner critics. She's an online course creator, Mindful to Bountiful, a mini course in mindfulness, and she's also a keynote speaker and coach. So we're going to be listening to someone with a lot of experience, a lot of wisdom, and a lot of joy. And why do we say joy? Because not only is she not only does she practice mindfulness, she also does laughter yoga, which is absolutely brilliant, right? And it all the skills to overcome negative self-limiting beliefs and releasing people of their fears of being judged, the frustrations of inconsistency, the crippling anxiety of failing at their business, their passion, families, education, what have you. She's got it all. With Tove's unique background in theater, broadcasting, mindfulness, and volunteered laughter, she helps people create impact and income, leading to a lifestyle that celebrates time and money, freedom, a profound sense of happiness and fulfillment. Tove, welcome to the program.
Richard, Yay. Thank you so much. And Shireen, it's lovely. I am a fan of the Go Virtues podcast. I love what you stand for. You represent everything good in life.
Thank you so much, Tove. It's such a pleasure for us to have you here. And we're going to go right in, Tove. Our virtue this week is cheerfulness. And what we do is I'm going to read one part of the card, and then we're going to reflect on what it sort of means before we get to our conversation. So cheerfulness. Cheerfulness is seeing the bright side and looking for the good in whatever happens. It is maintaining a positive attitude of optimism and confidence. When we give cheerfully, we are wholeheartedly helpful. Even when life is challenging, we make the best of it. We trust that all will be well. We nurture happiness. A cheerful smile can light up everyone's day. Wonderful, wonderful card, isn't it? Tove, what are your thoughts?
You know, I absolutely love that, because it takes you on this journey where you feel your mood literally shifting the more you hear about cheerfulness, about looking to the bright side. And that's the point. What really resonates for me is it's not ever saying that you have to be cheerful under perfect conditions. It says, your card says, in whatever happens. And if you can find cheerfulness in the midst of the difficult conditions, that's the secret. That's what you're looking for. And finding that and being able to live it wholeheartedly, that's the place where it doesn't matter how difficult, painful, or whatever kind of struggle you're experiencing, you can find the cheerfulness and trust, because we are only ever in this moment, Richard and Shireen, you know. Most of our thieves of cheerfulness relate to anxiety, relating to worries in a future orientation. And if you allow that to happen, it's just a cheerful smile right now. And that's the thing. Even if you're upset, if you just put a, it's one of the things, it's one of the things we do in laughter yoga is, even if you don't feel happy, in the midst of tears rolling down your face, if you just put a smile on your face, notice how the physiology of the smile actually allows the body to teach the mind and to teach the heart that things can change.
Yeah. No, thanks so much for that. I think that's really, really handy. That's what resonated with me as well, that it isn't when things are going well, but it's at all times. How do we actually find cheer? How can we be cheerful? How can we be joyful even when times aren't at their best? And I think a lot of us connect with this right now. You know, when things and the situation around the world isn't ideal for a lot of people, for a lot of families, how do we actually wake up every day and just be a little bit more mindful and make that choice that I am going to be happy today. I am going to be cheerful today. Shireen, you've spoken about choices a lot. That I remember you had said something about your dad saying you have a choice every single day that you make.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, just right now when we're talking also, yeah. I mean, don't you feel that when you hear, forget seeing the person, but when you hear that cheerfulness in someone's voice, you just pick it up. Right?
Absolutely.
And it's so magical. And I think with this, there's one question that comes to my mind, Tofe. So what is that magic? Or what is that one thing you do or you can tell our parents to do when they are feeling that dip? You know, they are feeling that dip with their child. What is that one thing they can do to immediately bounce off that dip and feel this cheerfulness?
Shireen, that is the question that we really want to answer, because that's really at the face where things matter, because that's where the friction's experienced. When a parent is experiencing trauma or struggle or difficulty, and the child understands that there's something wrong but doesn't fully understand the reasons related to it. They just feel there's something up. And children are so wise. They actually are quite receptive to the vibration and the anxiety that a parent is experiencing. They might not understand cognitively what's going on, but they can understand emotionally and energetically. And what I found, even with my son, is to involve them in the process and to show them, because so many parents do the, do what I say, not what I do teaching, which just completely undermines what a child is trying to learn. Because if a parent doesn't live the life they teach, then a child lives in a place of confusion. So the way that I do it is to encourage parents to laugh more with their children. How often haven't you seen parents wagging their finger, shouting at the child, knowing they can't necessarily discipline them in public, and the child's having some kind of emotional response that makes it awkward and embarrassing, and the whole shop knows and everybody is triggered and we all know, how is the parent going to handle it? But parents take themselves and their children too seriously. We need to understand we do, of course, have a very deep, sacred, honorable responsibility to parent. But children are just physically in this lifetime younger souls than us. They're not older or younger in energy, are they? So all that we got to do is respect children as the souls that they are. And show them that it's not always about having to be serious. Wipe that smile off your face. Stop laughing. This is no joke.
Yeah.
Why can't we use the humor to actually bring the child? Because sometimes it's just an emotional need to just let that feeling out. And then it can be relaxed and contained.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And it so connects with me. Just yesterday, I was thinking about it. And I was thinking, why is it that we as adults reserve our best behavior, even diplomatically or tactfully, for the people that don't have our best interest at heart? We reserve our best behavior for our employers. We reserve our best behavior for our friends, our best friends, for example. But with our children, not necessarily so, right? And in fact, the way we speak to our children, sometimes it can come out to be negative. Just look at how very quickly they bounce back from that. it takes them 10 minutes to come back and give you a hug and to say, I love you. Try that kind of behavior. The, you know, the ones we give to our kids. If we do that with our employer or our best friends, that's not going to last, is it? So, you know, I feel the beauty, that sacred relationship that you're talking about, I think being mindful to honor that, and not disregard it, not take advantage of it. But just to honor it and have fun. Have fun with it. They're only kids once.
That's my suggestion, Richard. Yes, is, you know, something happens along the way as we progress in life, and it's largely related to conditioning. And that is, we somewhere along the way decide that playfulness is the domain of children, and as an adult, we've got to take life, ourselves, everything seriously. And we don't play.
Yes.
And, you know, there are so many books about the need for adult playfulness, not only in terms of building resilience, communication skills, creativity, and solution seeking. I mean, these are essential tools for business. And the fact that adults don't naturally revert into play is part of the problem. And if they could play a little, take themselves a little less seriously. We've all seen the angry parent with the scowling face and the child that's confused. It is so easy to change it around and lighten up a little. And children begin then to see, hey, it's actually a safer environment for me. Because I remember previous episodes of yours on Go Virtues, you were talking about how safe it is for a child to experience emotion. And of course, we under conditions suppress and repress. And the natural, if you look at the physical act of laughter, it's a release. It's actually a physical letting go. It's a release. It's a and the thing is, in the middle of an argument. It is contagious. And it's
I wonder if the people listening to us are laughing.
It's as easy as that. And once you've had the release, then you can go, okay, listen, my boy, I actually do want you to, you know, we've got to look at, you've got your homework to get through, and there's some time management skills that you can work with here. You've got to hand in the assignment. You know, give them that space. And I remember that episode of yours where you were talking about the children that have got so many things to get to. It's like there's just too much for them to do. It's slightly over-managing their time. But I think every time we interact with our children is the time to be cheerful. And I want to emphasize just one caveat here. And that is, laughter is not undermining authority or leadership. In fact, it takes great courage and a willingness to offer the vulnerability of laughter to be able to get through a difficult situation and through its release, reassess and see what is the action plan. Because when we're serious and when we get caught up in conflict, we're actually stuck in a mental space looping around future possibilities. And that means the mind will carry on looping and bringing more and more serious scenarios. So what happens is the laughter interjects. Mm. It's an interruption. And it stops that cycle.
Yeah. No, I think very, very beautifully said, Tove. I like how you describe laughter as a vulnerability. We so often forget that, you know, it's so much more easier to be upset than to be joyful, that the mere act of laughter itself takes courage, which is another thing that you described earlier. Shireen, you know, the people generally, when we're dealing with parents and things like that, there's a lot of focus, you know, especially in the Asian mindset, on discipline. And parents, you know, as the authority figure. Perhaps you want to touch a little bit on that, on parental expectations, and then we can sort of pass it on to Tove again about how this isn't really sort of undermining discipline, if you like.
You know, as you said this, I was just thinking of what Tove said about children are not older or younger with the energy they carry. I think that was a brilliant thing that, you know, you said. And I think parents here, yeah, they've got this fixed mindset about discipline being very authoritative and all of that, right? So I think while you said this, in my mind, I was thinking maybe one of the first things we need to let parents know is that children are not just children, they are human beings. And
yes,
that's
absolutely
the first step to take it from. I mean, we need to be disciplined with a lot of things ourselves. So, you know, we want to be disciplined with things in a nice manner. And parents need to understand that children also need to be disciplined in a manner which is not punishing, blaming, shaming, and paining them, right? So I think working, what do you think, Tove? Working with the mindset of parents is more important, or you know, just giving them the tips. So sometimes I feel we give parents a lot of tips. We tell them what to do, you know, but they don't do it because the mindset is, no, I know better. You know, the way I grew up was better, right? So sometimes is it really this mindset? And the other thing about cheerfulness, and I've experienced this, is I've had parents tell me, no, I just can't make that change. You don't understand what I'm going through in my life.
Yes,
for me,
yes,
it's very, very difficult. Easy for you to say, be cheerful, but I just can't be. And they're so frustrated with their children that they don't even want to try. And that's where I think that mindset is a huge thing here. So how Tove, would you then advise parents to change this mindset and to be able to accept what they're feeling and, you know, be cheerful?
Thank you so much for that, Shireen. I think your word itself helps us to understand mindset. It's a set mind. In other words, it's closed in the conditions. Because of our the hierarchy of teaching comes from the you know, and it's just passed on and on and on. And then our parents will tell us, well, our great-grandparents had a far stricter upbringing than you did. You've got it easy. You don't know how bad it was. And before that, it was the Depression. Before that, there was this. And, you know, there's so many reasons that, you know, prior generations believe that they had it tougher, etc. But we're dealing with a new era, new technical skills, new emotional skills, new emotional intelligence. And these children are emerging with far greater emotional intelligence than some of their own parents as a result of the way that they interact with each other. Children are all about collaboration now, are all about communication, albeit on their mobile devices, but they have this ability to share with each other and to interact. So, Shireen, in terms of parents, it's again when people say, I just can't do it. I love it when somebody says that because I think, you know, the thing is, you couldn't walk when you were a baby. That was the reality. And then you could do it, you know. You couldn't. We've all been through so many things we just couldn't do before we could. You couldn't drive before you could. So being stuck in this limitation, it's like saying the air that I'm breathing now, taking in a breath, and hold and release. I will never have that breath again. And that's in a way a representation of that old mindset. You don't ever want that breath again. You always want the next breath. So you always want to be moving, adapting, changing, and growing. So in society, it's not polite to laugh more than 3 seconds. And you have to have a low volume. But with laughter yoga, we go, and we have that outright hands up, arms up, laughing. And children, I mean, children can go, what, why is my parent behaving like this? But they jump into it. And actually, can I tell you what happens? It brings the parent-child relationship back into connection because of the shared new experience. And what laughter does is it builds confidence and resilience, and it builds community. It is the nature and quality of your relationships is the quality of your life. So parents that feel they are constantly struggling with an uphill battle with their children are using, they're stuck in an ego mind trying to force something. Whereas if you allow things to go with the flow, knowing that everything is impermanent, we should always have beginner's mind, all of these wonderful qualities that the East has actually taught the world. So I understand, you know, sometimes we forget the heritage, the rich spiritual heritage that's available, and to not take ourselves so seriously. And children then, because what happens is, if you are resisting on one side and somebody resists the other side, you've just got force being applied and you're going nowhere. Whereas if you learn to flow better, and it's not about making light of difficult situations, it's actually about progressing adaptive skills to handle difficult situations. So it's a winner all round. And how you start it is by creating a daily practice. I believe because we have, as a, for example, the practice of laughter yoga, if you have a practice with your children of just choosing to laugh with them, I mean, a lot of what happens is you wake up, you argue with the children to get their clothes, their bags, everything ready. You argue with the breakfast. I mean, it's a whole bit. It's just argument from the time you wake up till the time you get them to school. All stress and friction. Whereas if you start the day going, and you just laugh for, and remember, this is laughing for no reason. So we're not looking for jokes, comedy, sense of humor. You just take in a breath, breathing in, hold, breathe out, breathe in, hold, release. And on the third breath, breathe in, hold it, hold it. And you just can laugh. And if you laugh for just a couple of minutes with the children and you go, why are we laughing? I don't know. It's just wonderful because that it creates that sharing, caring connection. And once you've had that feeling of looking at each other and now laughing, smiling, you feel lighter, you feel better, you feel energized, and you feel less stress. Stress is the thing that's triggering us. Stress is the thing that's causing the friction. And when you ease the stress back organically like that with just a breath and laughter, you've got a whole new relationship.
I love it. I love it. I love everything that you said. And I mean, just in such a short conversation, you're already, you know, making us convinced because we are laughing alongside with you and it just completely changes the energy. I just wanted to make note of two things that you said that really connected with me. It's my mindset as well. We always speak to kids about how precious time is, not to waste time, you know, and we speak about, and I love how you spoke about the breath that was taken that went away, but we don't want that breath anymore. We're looking at the future. We want to keep building on the breaths that are to come. And how can we make sure that our days are going to progress and become more joyful and cheerful as we move forward? And the second thing that I quickly very thought about when we spoke about disciplining children and parents as authority figures, I also, you know, I think I speak to a lot of parents about children that don't naturally or generally take your time or attention. There are a lot of children that sit on the very neutral end of the spectrum, and they tend to be ignored a lot more because they don't demand your time. They don't demand your attention. You're already expecting that they're going to go away. They're going to do their own work. They do their homework very diligently. They're very disciplined, but there isn't really that much relationship there because they aren't really demanding much of your time, you know? So creating that space of joy with those children, I think, is of paramount importance because I've seen a lot of those kids that just work and work and work and have that pressure of excellence and discipline, but don't really have a lot of fun. Whether in school or at home.
To add to that, I feel that a lot of parents also think that when they're trying to discipline their children, they have to have this very stern look and they have to, you know, they don't have to be they can't be cheerful while disciplining because discipline comes with this very serious, stern kind of look. And I think, again, back to the mindset, I think that's what needs to perhaps change. You can be in a cheerful place and still discipline your children. And I think that would come out that would come out, in fact, in such a nice way, because you'd be able to get the child, however old the child is. You know, I've tried this with my kids. When I'm angry or when I'm very stern, they don't want to listen to you because then it sounds like you're demanding. But when you're coming from a cheerful space, then it somehow feels like you're including them in the decision and you're connecting with them before you correct. So
absolutely.
I think that's the other thing that came to my mind as Richard was
talking. Shireen, that is the next level. It is so beautiful to see, because look at it from this perspective. It's old school that believes we have to discipline children to keep them in some kind of framework. Mm-hmm. But wouldn't it be another kind of world if children felt safe, secure, and confident to create the life that they are envisioning for themselves and that they would like, and that they don't actually require discipline as much as support and encouragement. And so where that changes things is sometimes parents are not using the correct motivating strategy for their child. Mm. So we motivate by fear, we motivate by implication, we motivate by withdrawal of a privilege, motivate by withdrawal of a mobile phone or the threat of something. Now, in any circumstance, in terms of our cognitive and emotional response to those kinds of negative motivations, everybody clams up, everybody resists. But if you're creating an environment where somebody is feeling like they're thriving and feeling like they're being supported and encouraged, you find that a person who was in the background can become a leader. It's all about the way that we treat and the expectations that we help them to establish of themselves. So the idea that my child needs discipline or my child has ADHD, very often that's coming from an environment of, you know, I can't handle what's going on here. I don't have the emotional depth to manage this. Actually, that's very often an individual who's energetic. It's a kinesthetic energy. So they need to move more in order to learn or to do schoolwork or such. They're not the kind of sit-down academic type. So I think as we progress further, we understand that we have different appeals of the mind and the heart. And it's time to get back into heartful teaching.
Yes.
And, you know, you might say to me, Tove, when are these occasions? And I say, you know what, also include the children as to when they can say it's laughter time. In other words, and I mean, my son is 20, 25. And he'll still say, "Shall we have some laughter?" And I'll go, "Sure, let's go." And we'll do. We've got various different things that we do that are just silly. I mean, the one day I started doing the Mission Impossible soundtrack. I was making the sound of it, and he did this thing in the middle of the pavement. He did this big, somersault on the pavement and rolled like he was, you know, Ethan Hawke ready for his mission. And I was like, "This to anybody else, it's like, what are you two doing?" But we're playing and being creative and fun, as opposed to walk neatly, behave yourself, be quiet, fit in the space. This is not the way, because the future is going to need for the planet. We need new creative thinking, because sustainable thinking needs those children to have a close access to creativity.
Yes.
So, for example, the parents don't spend time with their kids. Actually, they come in, they get into the room, they stay there, they eat, they go back, there's discipline, whatever. But now if you say to them, all right, we're going to have some tea. While the kettle's boiling, we're going to free laugh. Okay. No, I don't want to. That's silly. Because sometimes children then tell the parents what's silly and that's childish and such. But once they start to feel it, and feel the benefits of it and feel like, wow, that's okay, actually. Because there is no way for you to experience laughter and not feel better, lighter, happier. So we don't have to be happy to laugh.
Yes.
But you will feel happier once you
love
laughed.
It. Love it. Brilliant. Love it. That's Tove, I'm going to steal that quote, and that's going to be an Instagram post right there. I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. I love it too. Maybe you can repeat that for our listeners, Tove. It was beautiful.
Remember, a lot of this wisdom comes from my guru, Dr. Madan Kataria, but you don't have to be happy to laugh, but you will be happier when you laugh.
You will be happier when you
laugh. And remember, happiness isn't something you get. Happiness is something you make space for, you create happiness. So you're not looking for the conditions of happiness.
Yeah.
You create happiness. And if you've got that interest, that intrigue, it's a different world.
Yeah. Now, Tove, you know, we hear all this and it's like as if you're preaching to the converted. You know, it feels like as if, yes, there is no other way. This has to be the way. Why wouldn't anybody want to do this? Why wouldn't anyone want to be happy? But the reality of the situation is, and you've met, I guess, thousands and thousands of people in your you know, illustrious career. And seeing the bright side of life, seeing the good in whatever happens is not easy for people. Mm-hmm. And I just sort of want to tap into why do you think that is from the people that you've met, from the challenges that they've shared with you, what are the inhibitions and why have we come to a certain point where we feel that there are certain barriers for us to be able to open ourselves so freely with our families? Why does it take courage? Why are we not able to be so vulnerable, if you like? So what are the stories that you've heard from people as to why this is a challenge for them?
Well, one of the things that it goes back to is basic, it is to do with our reptilian brain. So essentially we've got this ancient, we've got an ancient mechanism, but it's existing in a modern contemporary world. So the ancient mechanism mm-hmm. is wired for fight or flight. There are lesser aspects of freeze, but it is there to protect us. So it has to be eternally vigilant, scouting for danger, looking out for problems in order to keep us safe. But in the modern brain, we don't have the ability to separate from what is an ancient physiological wiring, because it isn't life-threatening if you haven't handed in the assignment on time, or if you've mm-hmm. if you've spilt something on your blouse and you're about to make a presentation at your school, Shireen, and it's like, you know, that is not life-threatening. But the mind goes into, you know, you would have heard Dr. Rick Hansen has that concept that it becomes Velcro for criticism and it's Teflon for praise. So it's very much like that. It's, you know, the good stuff slips away too easily. We don't grasp it. And the negative is just stuck. Yeah. And it's all to do with the fact that relates to our need for survival. We live in a modern era now. So I just think with mindfulness, we offer ourselves compassion and we go, I recognize that this is the way my brain is trying to help protect me. But through mindfulness, I can choose then to go, all right, thank you for trying to keep me safe, but actually I choose to make a different decision. And so when we're choosing cheerfulness, what you'll discover is the more you look for something, the more you find it. The more you resonate with something, the more you attract it. So we've all seen, we know the mood hoover, right? The mood hoover personality. You can see the face, the energy, the physiological body state is all down and gloomy. And you if you see them in the shop, you actually go down the other aisle because you don't want to have to be stuck with their problems, right? You want to get away. Because it's like, you know, if you ask them how they are, you're going to get it.
We all have those people.
Exactly. We all have them. But why don't we be the opposite to the mood hoover, you know, the joy fountain that people just see us and go, wow. And all it is the choice. It's a choice because it doesn't say, I mean, I've had depression and anxiety for years and years and years. So I'm not some kind of enthusiastic, bubbly, cheerful, lighthead who just laughs through life and doesn't have a worry. I've got significant anxieties. I have a very serious heart condition. I have chronic ailments. You know, I had an incident where I effectively, you know, had a situation in a swimming pool where I may not have lived. So I know what it's like to be in a situation. You can't get more serious than that. That is life and death serious. I've been there. So I'm not talking out of turn, but what I'm saying is two things. It's choice and build the choice into a habit. And that is the secret because you just do small incremental steps. The first point is invite your children if you're driving with them. All right, you choose where our next laughing point is. Okay, at the next traffic light. All right. And as you stop at the traffic light. Okay, we laugh when we see a white car. Okay, everybody, let's see how loud we can laugh. You know, and get them to play. Why not? Because, and then you can see they feel better about themselves. And they feel more empowered because now it's like they can't wait to play the game. You know, we've all had, you know, Richard, I'm sure you've had, Daddy, can you read me the story again? You know, you're going to get, Daddy, can we laugh again? I mean, why wouldn't you want to laugh with your child? You know, we glare at them, shout at them, discipline them. Let's do some of the other good stuff.
Brilliant. I love that. I really love your analogies of, you know, the mood hoover and the joy fountain. I think every time it's going to stick with me about being a joy fountain. And, you know, something again just popped into my mind is that it's easier with young children, right? When you tell them, let's choose a laughing point and let's just, you know, let's laugh when we see a car or whatever, something like that. But I guess with older kids, like you've got a 25-year-old and my 21-year-old, I feel like when you just do it, when you act silly and when you laugh, they just pick it up. It's that social learning that just comes into place and they just absorb it, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. So, that's what happens is we've got mirror neurons in the prefrontal cortex. And what happens is when I look in your eyes and I laugh with you, you look in mine and you laugh too because we're activating each other's mirror neurons and we're laughing.
that connect with, you know, with having that eye contact. Is actually really important.
Whenever I'm walking in a busy mall, even if we've all got our masks on and we can't see much, you can just see eyes, but I'll often like do something funny with my eyes and go, and then somebody will end up going, or they'll hear me laughing. I mean, I was in the bank just yesterday and the teller was taking forever to sort out some paperwork and I was just talking. And next thing she was like, and she was laughing. And I'm like, you see, even in the bank.
Wow.
You've
given us a lot of good tips to use
it.
Immediately.
I know you've weaved into, you know, different strategies and things like that as we've had our conversation, but If you were to be given, let's say, 2 minutes of time right now, would you be able to take our listeners through an activity completely guided by you?
Yes, absolutely. Let's do. In fact, I'm going to do it with you, and then everybody listening on Go Virtues right now. Let's do it together. So, your mind. Now, first of all, laughter is a part. It's the body's playground. It's not where we don't want to be thinking too much. So we actually say to the mind, we can just park the thoughts and let's take a moment. So we choose this. And here's the thing. You could choose to stay stuck and not do it, or you could choose to say, this is interesting. Let me give this a try. So we breathe in together, breathing in through the nose. Yep. Hold and then release through the mouth. Laughter is also about deep breathing. So breathing in again and release. And on the third breath, we breathe in, hold it, hold it, hold it. Here's another one that's quite fun. So most of the time, you know, when we get our cell phone bill or when we get any kind of bill, we normally look at the bill. Picture holding up your hand in your face and you see the bill. It's like, ah! And you can put your hand back in your hand and laugh at the bill. Mine's so big I have to turn the page. Another one that's quite fun is is milkshake laughter. So you picture yourself with two glasses and you pour from the one into the other. And then you drink it. Yeah!
Wow.
And if you're lactose intolerant, you throw it away. So we go,
Wow.
You laugh over spilled milk on this one.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think it's
lovely, Richard.
Brilliant. I think this is fantastic. And I love the whole idea of it being so intentional. You know, all this time, you know, you think that you got to find things to laugh at. But I love this story where you said, be intentional and laugh and make it a habit. Wow.
That's it.
Shireen, let's invite you to read the second part of the card. As you go through that, all three of us will pick on something to sort of reflect on, sort of like a main takeaway point from the conversation based on the second half of the card, Shireen. So off you go.
Right, here we go. Right. There is one thing one has to have, either a soul that is cheerful by nature or a soul made cheerful by work, love, art, and knowledge. Francis Marie Walter. The practice of cheerfulness. I keep a positive outlook. I look for ways to be helpful. I give wholeheartedly. I am optimistic amidst the currents of life. I feel confident and happy. I trust in the goodness of life. I am thankful for the gift of cheerfulness. It lightens my soul. Wow.
Love.
So brilliant.
Tove, yes. You've got first dibs.
Yep.
What I love about this is the very start of it. It's the practice of cheerfulness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was saying. Show up for your cheerfulness. Show up for your cheerfulness. And when you show up and you care about, you know, we've got to hold, a lot of people hold their problems very seriously.
Yes. Yep.
And, you know, you've spent a good few conversations, I would imagine, trying to show someone the solution to their problem.
Yeah.
When they start to tell you their burdens,
yes.
And you go, oh, have you thought about this? Could you try that? And they're clinging. They're so grasping onto their problem. Eventually you go, you know what? Stick with the problem. It's good for you. It's what you want. Yeah. But we don't ever say that. We just keep trying to help them. But yet, if people have that kind of resolve, that kind of tenacity to hold on to my practice of cheerfulness, that despite anything that's going on, I keep a positive outlook. COVID has shown us that unexpected things will come.
Mm-hmm.
And just when we think it's at its worst, it gets much worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we saw, in addition, racial tension, in addition, fires, earthquakes, building collapses, violence, regime takeovers. There will always be a reason to notice that the world is in trouble.
Absolutely.
And even if you look at the environment and global warming.
Yes.
I'm not one of those who looks at global warming from a down in the dumps perspective. I'm there going, how can we use environmindfulness to clean up? What can we do as an individual? Let's do something, one thing. And remember, you can also clean up your energy, your personal energy, so that if you are sending out cheerful energy to everybody who meets you, you are changing the world. Interaction by interaction. And so it's the practice of cheerfulness. Show up for your cheerfulness. Keep the positive the outlook. And I often think when people get so wound up or anxious about their own problems, go and give to somebody else and you will feel so much gratitude for what you already have, gratitude to be able to serve. And in that gratitude, you will find it leads towards happiness, because happiness is peace.
Tove, you have said so much already. I think I probably made a mistake to put you up first. You should have been the wonderful, wonderful concluding statement there. But no, it's so beautifully said and so eloquent and so graceful as well, Tove, in the way you explain things. It's really contagious and it's very inspiring.
Absolutely.
Shireen, what do you have?
You know, I'm stuck with, like you said, she said so much that I can't wait to listen to this again, actually.
I know, me too, right?
I can't wait. And I think what you really left me with today is about being a joy fountain. I just love your analogies. And I think right after this, when we, you know, wind up just walking there and thinking of this joy fountain and being able to give, you know, just give and give and give, is going to be beautiful. And I'm going to practice that. And let's hope that everyone around me changes and is a joy fountain as well. That's what I'm looking for.
And what I've got from the two of you is, Tove says, show up for the practice of cheerfulness. You've said, be a joy fountain. And what I've got is, if you do that, it will lighten your soul. It will lighten your soul. Because no matter what you do, no matter what the circumstances are, if we choose to be cheerful, we can only end up being happier, right? Which is what we spoke about earlier. So I'm in love with this conversation. Like Shireen, I will definitely, I get the advantage of listening back because I'm going to be editing it, Shireen. So. But I love it. I really, really love it. Tove, you know, you're an inspiration. Thank you so much for everything that you've shared today. It's. I think a lot of people will have enjoyed the ride. I'm absolutely certain of it. If people want to get in touch with you and find out about the work that you're doing, can you just give us a little bit of details so we can put it in the show notes as well, and people can sort of know where to get to you?
Great. Thank you, Richard. I'm available on all social media. I have a YouTube channel. I'm on Facebook, Instagram. But you can use my website. So it's my name, TOVEKANE, ToveKane.com. I want to thank you both, not only for this conversation, for your enthusiasm, but I want to acknowledge the energy that your podcast puts out into the world. It ripples out in this beautiful gift to humanity. So my thanks are to you for Go Virtues, and I wish you all the very best as you continue to be the joy fountain of Go Virtues. So thank you, both of you, for all the wonderful things you do.
Thank you for such kind and generous words. Thank you. Absolutely. It really inspires us to keep going. Thank you so much, Tove. And as I round up again, just a reminder to everybody, I know that you've enjoyed this this episode. Find us on govirtues.com, for Tove on tovekane.com, TOVEKANE.com, and also on social media. You can find us at Go Virtues on Instagram and Facebook. We look forward to hearing from you. And as we sign off from this, there's no better way than to laugh it off.